Welcome to Healing From Within with your host, John Robson. This program helps you experience transformational shifts in your health and well-being to feel energized, vibrant, and alive like never before. Now, here is John Robson.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. It's great to be here with you. I'm your host, John Robson, on Healing From Within. And in today's show, we're going to be looking at, this is Values Part 2. So previously I did a show on values, and this is the second part, a follow-up to that, an evolution of that, really looking about the relationship between the voids that you feel and experience in your life and the relationship to values, and also how that can lead to the conflicts that you experience within life, and then hence the expression of disease and symptoms within your body. Hopefully, by listening to the many shows that I've done so far, you've got the opportunity to recognize how much the conflicts and stresses we experience in life really do manifest as the diseases we have in our life and the symptoms we express too. But this show is really looking about the values component of all of that. And again, I want to invite you to like us on Facebook. You can connect. I've developed a Healing From Within Facebook page, so Healing From Within show. Towards the end of today, I hope to get a link up on the Healing From Within homepage, just to so you can click straight on that and go straight to the Facebook page and like it there. And on there, you'll have a list of all of the previous shows that I've delivered as well, so you can go and check them out. So in terms of today's show, we want to have a think about what we covered in the last value show and how that relates to today's session. So in the last value show, we really looked at some of those basic principles of values, how every single one of us, every single one of you has a unique hierarchy of values. And there's nobody out there on the planet that has the exact same hierarchy of values as you do. And as we go through today's show, you're going to really understand why that is the case a little bit more as well. And that not only do every single one of us have a unique hierarchy of values, but every single decision you make and have ever made within your life was based on your hierarchy of values and a very specific evaluation that the mind would have made. Most of your hierarchy of values is stored in the unconscious mind. And as you may or may not know, it's said that we live about 95% of our life from our unconscious. So these values, this hierarchy of values is stored and embedded into your unconscious mind. And it really does impact every decision, every choice you ever make. And that evaluation we make is literally a quick checklist in our brain of benefits versus drawbacks, rewards versus risks, gain versus losses, positives versus negatives of any decision that you can make based on your value system. So I'm making that real for you. It's like if you ever decide to do something, it's because you've perceived more rewards versus risk from doing that action, more benefits versus drawbacks, more gains versus losses. But if you decide not to do something, then it's because of that evaluation the same, but you perceive, but by doing that thing, there's more risk versus reward, more drawback versus benefits, more losses versus gains than doing a different activity. So you just don't do it. So this really does, the value system really does lead into your behaviors and how you, the choices you've made in your life. For an instance, every morning when I wake up, I check my business emails. I see what's come in and I see what's going on for the business today. And I set my highest priority actions that I can take for the day that's going to help me to develop my business and everything around it. And I also go to the gym, take some supplements and work out. So in my own life, I have found that for me, those actions yield greater results based on my value system than things than doing other activities or doing other things in my life. So those are some of the activities that I choose to do because I've found them to be optimal in helping me to fulfill my value system. We also talked about how the impact of the perception of living with, that we're living incongruently with our own value system, and the impact that can happen into our health and well-being of injecting other people's values onto us. And we, you know, that can happen quite a lot. Anytime we have an authority figure in our life, it's quite easy for us to try to make ourselves like them, and to, so like a parent or something who's in a position of authority over us, or a boss, or even some friends, in if that is sort of a dynamic and relationship that's going on. Sometimes we can inject their values onto us and make decisions and make choices in our life based on what they think to be of value, and that can feel like we're living incongruently to our own values. Things like when we say yes to doing something, when you really feel deep inside that you really want to say no, like when a boss you perceive has power over you, asks you to do something, and you really don't really want to do the activity, but you end up doing it anyways. That can feel like an incongruence, and it can lead to a frustration within you. Or when you say no to something that you want to do in life, like maybe when a child or a friend or wants you to go out and do an activity with them, but you've got work over the top of it, they can feel frustration and some energy within there that's like, oh, I feel like I'm not quite getting to do what I really want to do in life. All of these sort of things, these sort of feelings, can lead to the ABCDs of negativity. So the ABCDs of negativity are feelings of anger and aggression, blame and betrayal, criticism and challenge, and despair and depression, which all leads to a lot of negative self-talk. So when we're really living, we looked at this last time, like in the last session, about when we're living incongruently, it can lead to a lot of these things. And how much living congruently to our hierarchy of values really does lead to for feelings of inspiration. I feel inspired from within to continue doing my life. Like, I'm inspired to go to the gym in the morning. I'm inspired to do my business things and set my priorities for the day and do those activities. So because I'm living congruently with my values and not injecting from others, I feel inspired in my day. I actually end the day with more energy than I started it with, and I wake up ready to go. You know, that's a very good sign that you're living congruently. Also, feelings of enthusiasm to go to the gym. What am I going to do today? What am I going to look to train? How am I going to piece my program together to get the best results? Also, feelings of gratitude for myself and for others as well. Whenever we're not feeling congruently with ourselves, or we feel like we're living out of alignment, it can lead to frustration, and it can lead to just an overriding feeling of ingratitude for life, really, because we're not feeling like we're aligned. We're not feeling like we get to live the life that we want to live. So obviously, we're not necessarily always going to feel grateful for that. So in living congruently, it also leads to sensations of love and appreciation for self, others, and life. And in those four states, which are really high vibrational states you can be in, really, the state of feeling and inspiration, enthusiasm, in appreciation or gratitude and love, those are higher vibrational states. And it leads to an increase in your vitality, increase in your energy, and it really does help to stabilize your immune system. Because the opposite of that, feeling challenged, conflicted, anger, aggression, like I was saying, they're more low vibrational emotions, low vibrational states of being, and it has a real negative impact on your immune system, on your nervous system, and many different things, as we went through in the last show. Now, today, I wanted to really introduce a little piece of, in truth, no one actually lives incongruently with their values when you really go in there and you do the discovery, because every decision is based on what your true unconscious values are. So, for example, you might think that you're living incongruently with your values by making a decision, but when you do a deeper discovery of your sometimes hidden values, your decision makes sense. So I had a client who, just to sort of bring this, how this is real in life, is I had a client who come to me, and the first conflict and experience he was suggesting was that I just feel like I'm living completely incongruently with how I would truly love to live. And I'm feeling frustrated. It's causing me a lot of negative self-talk. I beat myself up regularly in my mind. I spend a lot of energy just sort of attacking myself psychologically. And then we looked at some of we looked at his hierarchy of values, we looked at his voids, and we looked at some of the things he was experiencing in life. And what he found was that he felt like he was in a family business, and he felt like he was allowing his father, who was the guy who he was in business with, to dictate and to determine his activities within his day. And he felt like there was a part of him that was being really pushed down and negated and causing him a lot of frustration in his life. But when we looked at what he was doing in his activity and choosing to do what his father was asking him to do, what we recognized is that was the thing that was important to him. There was some family challenges that he's experienced, which made him really value his father, and he really valued the relationship with his father. So in doing the activities that his father was asking, in the emotional bank account that we say we have with every person, it was like a deposit. So every time he was doing some of these activities, it felt like an emotional deposit in the bank account within the relationship with his father. He also actually, when we got down to it, really did enjoy the work he was doing. He's kind of a creative genius with regards to the work he was doing. And he got a lot of praise from friends, family, and other social groups for the work that he was doing. So there was that added benefit in there that he hadn't really appreciated at the start. Also, he was getting some financial benefits from obviously doing the work, and that was his main source of income. So when we got into it, at first he was frustrated by the activity and really not and having a, you know, attacking himself, attacking his father, you know, feeling depression and despair and all those criticism and challenge feelings that we talked about. But actually, when we looked at it and when we looked at all of the blessings that he was getting from doing that activity, he actually grew in appreciation, and he understood the decisions that he was making. And that sensation of gratitude in life, when you're grateful for what you've got, you get more to be grateful for. So he was actually able to take that energy and actually live more congruently in life and feel higher vibrational feelings. And now it was also a case of honoring those things that he felt that he'd dropped down in his values. It was a case of setting aside time to ensure that he was able to do that. But also when we looked at it, those activities weren't going to fulfill him in terms of a relationship between doing the tasks that the father had said and doing those the other activities that he felt that he wanted to be spending his more time doing. When we looked at it, they actually didn't fulfill as many values as the activity that he had actually chosen to do. So he was able to take those things off of the pedestal and recognize and realize why he'd chosen the actions that he'd chosen to take. So I want you to think about that in your life too, because it's a really important thing of really appreciating the choices and actions that you take, and really recognizing what's going on underneath there. So think about your own life, and think about, is there any of your life right now that really feels frustrating to you, really feels incongruent, really feels like there's more stress in there than pleasure, if you like? And I want you to think of the actions you're taking and look underneath, and what are those actions that you're taking actually suggesting as being your true values? Why would you be choosing those activities? What are the hidden things that you're, the hidden benefits that you're getting out of taking those actions that in not taking them you wouldn't be fulfilling? So think about it, and think about they are showing you another value that you have, although you might feel incongruent in your actions. Ask how doing it is actually serving another value. So, for instance, like if say your children are not getting as much time as you really feel that you would like to be given to your children, and they're asking for your help, and they're asking for your assistance, they're asking for more and more time with you, then you'll want to do a little discovery. If you find you're spending more time at work and on work projects or in business or doing some other activity, then and that makes you feel some guilt or some shame or something like that, that's a sign that maybe you're injecting somebody else's values, but also there's some hidden wisdom in here for you. So what I want you to do is, in that situation, not only do you want to see the hierarchy of values that you're truly expressing through your choices, but also look at how whatever that other activity that you're choosing to do actually serves the thing that you feel that you want to do. So if you're spending a lot of time working, for instance, and you want to your children want to spend more time with you, then just try to look at all of the blessings and all of the benefits that you working is having for your kids' life. And just keep listing and listing and listing and listing and listing all of the ways in which you working actually serves the child's life, both now and in the future, until you get a feeling of the guilt lifting, the shame lifting, the appreciation for yourself raising, and the choices that you're making. Then the only real tricky piece in that is to learn how to communicate that in terms of your child's values. So if you find yourself setting a lot of promises or time aside to be with your kid, but then you find you don't actually get around to it a lot of times, then you want to be very good at communicating in terms of the child's values, what they find to be important, what you're doing, how you're maybe building for their fund for their college as they move forward, because you've recognized how important that is. But also, there is time to also set aside for your children as well. And this is just an example of the children one, because a lot of people that I get coming to me actually have this challenge. I feel like it's good to share here. So, and again, what you want to ask is, if you know that you definitely do want to spend more time with your kids, and you're just finding that this conflicting values just lead you to choose a different choice every time, then what you can do is you can ask yourself, how would actually spending more time with my kids benefit me in my business, benefit me in my job, benefit me in my ability to maybe raise money, right? Raise wealth as well. And so that will link the children, spending time with the children, actually back to your already existing hierarchy of values. And what you'll find is, the more you see the links between these two activities, the more you'll find you're able to actually do that time without feeling any guilt or shame. Whether you're working, you don't feel any guilt and shame towards the kids. When you're spending time with the kids, you don't feel any guilt and shame towards your work. And so that these sort of states are very low frequency states. So like the emotions of fear, anger, sadness, hurt, guilt, shame, all of these sort of feelings, they're sort of low vibrational states. And they don't, if you feel these things over a long period of time, they really don't inspire you to go out and do too much with your life. So you want to clear them out as best as you can. And those things there are just some strategies to dissolve some of that. So there's a little bit about what we were covering last show and how I'm going to be evolving on that in today's show as well. And some strategies there already that you can start to use. So really look at those voids, those values. Now, what I wanted to share with you is just how important it is to understand your voids and how much they drive your values. So this is going to be some really unique information for you that it's going to kind of blow your mind. It blows my mind whenever I work with this through with people. So we're going to take our first short break of today's show, and in a couple of minutes, I'm going to be right back with you and share with you many insights about this. I'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Are you stuck, feeling frustrated or overwhelmed? Do you keep putting off your dreams until tomorrow? Is your to-do list growing while time keeps shrinking? Are your closets and cupboards crammed, but your life still feels empty? Join soul coach and vitality expert Amy Dufresne each week for Vital Lessons, feeding your body, mind, and soul. Amy and her expert guests will help you to clear out the clutter and inject more joy into your life. Be inspired to keep going and create the life you crave. Listen Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Explore the power of natural healing with Howard Strauss. Join us each week for an informative program that'll help you learn effective healing methods using natural remedies. Howard's guests include top researchers, authors, and experts who will share their views on a variety of natural products and healing methods that really work. Tune in to The Power of Natural Healing with Howard Strauss, Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Healing from Within with John Robson. To participate in our discussion today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to john@meta-medicineusa.com. Now, back to Healing from Within.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm just noticing out of my window here as I'm presenting the show for you that we've got a really snowy day here in Colorado. But fortunately for me, I'm inside and the warmth of the house is really keeping me warm. But it's a nice day, a winter wonderland out there. Hope wherever you are, it's a nice weather day, or you're just enjoying it, whatever it is. So as we were getting into there, I really wanted to share with you how much this wisdom of how our voids drive our values. So that which we perceive to be most missing in life becomes most important to us. So we value it. We place a higher value on that which we perceive to be most missing. In the previous show on values, we really looked at how that expresses itself as not only your genius and how you can find your genius through your values, but also very much linked to your mission, your vision, and your purpose within life as well. Those things are very much locked in. So during sessions with clients, what I really do to find out this whole piece of information, because it really opens up many opportunities once they understand the voids values relationship, I will first of all, I'll take them through a series of questions that help me to reveal what their life is currently demonstrating as being their unique hierarchy of values. And again, with regards to this, because your voids drive your values, there is nobody that has been perceiving the world in exactly the same way that you've been perceiving it throughout your whole life. So nobody can have the same unique values as you. Even twins, we find even twins are so unique in their character, even though they look identical. It's because both of them have a different brain. They both have a different mind. So their perceptions of what's voids and what's values, even though they go through a similar experience, is so unique and personal to them. So as I'm taking clients through these questions, I find out, first of all, their hierarchy of values. Then we look at, because we know this relationship between voids, what have been the biggest voids in your life? And as well, what are your biggest voids now, like currently, right now in your life? What do you perceive to be most missing? And throughout the whole entire of your life, from literally birth to now, what do you perceive to be most missing? And how is that reflected in your value system? Sometimes the voids of life very much the same as the voids of the current moment as well. There can be a very distinct correlation between the two, but sometimes these things can change around in a short term, because maybe something like an emergency will come up where all of a sudden the car breaks down, or all of a sudden you've got a major health challenge that now your life would demonstrate that maybe health wasn't high on your values at first. So you didn't spend much time on looking after your health, caring for your health, all of these sort of things. But now all of a sudden you get a health challenge because that which you don't value depreciates and loses value. And so it deteriorates in your life. So if you don't value health, it's one of those core things you're just essential to have as one of your high values, because everything else will break down if you don't have your health. But what we find is if life just didn't demonstrate that was going to be something that was important to you, then all of a sudden you can have an emergency in your life. So all of a sudden your current voids are, wow, my health is really a big void now, so now it becomes a big value in the short term, and I make all the changes I need to try and get myself healthy and well. But that's only in some cases. In a lot of cases, those life voids really do match the current voids as well. And then we want to see how well your voids map your current hierarchy of values. And what we find is in most of the cases, it's actually a perfect alignment. That's what you're really looking for. You know, when you're congruent within life, is when your voids that you've experienced, that you've perceived, really do match your hierarchy of values in reverse order, obviously. Highest void in life, highest value in life. What I find sometimes is with people is when they've been injecting a lot of values from other people, what they find is their voids that they feel and the values that, and the way they're spending their life, there's not really, there's a few places where there's an incongruence. And all of those places of incongruence is where somebody's injected other people's values, and it'll be where they lead to frustration in life and triggers in life and stress in life, if you like. And those areas of non-correlation will be where you lead to the ABCDs of negativity and that negative self-talk. So we look for that. The reason why we do that to find the void's values is to, A, find all of the places where you feel frustration in life, but also just to help you to see that life is cyclical. Life literally goes in circles. And it's nice to be able to see that who you are today, who you're living today, is very much based on your whole experiences of life. I once saw a teacher who I actually kind of respected before this maybe talk. And, it was only one experience. So I'm sure he rationalized his thinking a bit better. But he once tried to say that your purpose has nothing to do with your life experience. So the decisions you make about who you are and what you're going to do in life have nothing to do with your personal experiences in life. And that for me doesn't work. Obviously, who you decide to be and what you are is very much linked to the voids, the experiences, the traumas that you've witnessed in your life, because every single one of us has a craving within us to fulfill a certain void in life, to bring order to some level of chaos. For me, it's very much about health and well-being. For you, it'll be whatever it is. But this thing here really helps you to see how who you are right now and your intentions for your future, how much that's linked to who you've always been and all of your experiences within life. So, for example, I had a female client come in just recently, and in her highest hierarchy of values were business, finances, and mental development. And traditionally, and this is traditionally, I know there's a lot of change going on, but these are more male values. So as they were sort of selling me, and these things were just coming up again and again and again as being high values, business, finance, mental development. I was like, okay, there might be something here of a real void somewhere. And so when we looked at what the voids were, we actually found that the father left the family dynamic before the girl was even born. And so there was a big void that was opened up in that experience, like the father and financial security and these sort of things. Now, the mother did actually take up many of these traits, because if the universal life doesn't leave any voids unfilled, really, somebody will come in to take up the traits. And in this case, the mom in the family dynamic was the best person to just take up some of these traits of the father. But it led to a value within this one because of that deep void, because no other real male figure came in to take care of these things. So as this person grew up, this girl grew up, she became acutely aware of those voids around those sort of things left by the father figure. And so she became, she had them as a higher value, and she made them her strengths. She made them her empowerment. She made them areas where she wouldn't ever be in a situation which caused trauma in her childhood of the lack of these things, because she would make sure that they were her power. She would make sure that they were her true strengths in there. And so that's just one way in how the voids that we feel can show up in the values that we express and our identity in life and all of our belief systems as well, how these will come in all wrap up into these experiences. And also in today's show, in the third piece of the show, we're not going into it yet, but I really wanted to show the relationship between how these voids, these values, can really express the conflicts that we're experiencing, and how that can also drive the manifestation of the symptoms we express in our physiology and our psychology too. Another example was another female came in, and she, with her values, she had a really polarized hierarchy of values. What was most important was like the house, actually, the housework, caring for the house, dinner, cooking dinner, making sure she could prepare foods and all of these sort of things. And also there was a high value on spiritual and emotional connection as well. And when we looked at the voids, we looked at what have you been perceiving as being most missing in your life from a young age. And what we found was that her mother actually was at work all the time. Like, she was a working mom, you know, based on her value systems, that was the way the optimum way for her to get more benefits and drawbacks, more rewards versus risk, all that sort of stuff. But what that led to in the daughter of the mother who was out working was a void of the mother. And there was obviously conflict with that and feelings within that led this woman, when she grew up and when she became a mother herself, to want to be almost like the Mary Poppins, if you like, or the ideal kind of mother figure that you could be. And so she spent a lot of time on all of those things a lot of time on house care and the house was really important, and spiritual and emotional connection as well, because obviously the void there that she perceived and she felt was this deep connection with the primary female energy within our life. Although it was taken up by other people and all of these sort of things, still the wound in there, until you've seen that, is still that conflict of that not the connection that you really feel that you value and want. So, again, I want you to think about how this applies to you in your own life. So, what now? In the first section there, we really looked at, we started to look at, what are your hierarchy of values? What do they currently suggest? What's important to you? What do you perceive to be of worth? And now, I want you to have a little look at, now, in relation to your life experience from a young age, what do you perceive to be of most missing in your youth, most missing from being a child, or most missing in your voids now currently in life? And how do these things map over one another? Because I know in my own life, my values now in the business, the financial development, and the health and well-being. In my own life, I witnessed many voids around these areas, which were fulfilled and tried to be taken up by different characters throughout life. But I noticed there was a lot of ill health. As I've mentioned to you before, there were a lot of people within my family that, you know, my mother, when I was 17, she died of during an epileptic seizure. My grandfather, way before I was born, he died of a brain tumor. My other grandfather died, and he died of a brain tumor at 52. My mother died at 52. My other grandfather died at about 76, 77 of a heart attack. My grandmother died of diabetes-related issues around late 70s. And my other grandmother died of Alzheimer's-related symptoms at a young age. And so always for me, there was this craving for understanding what is health and what is disease. And so it really expresses itself in my activities and my behaviors in my current life, but also the business that I'm developing as well. And because the combination of your voids and values, when we come back in section three, I really want you to have I'm really going to be going through the concept of how much hidden inside your hierarchy of values. It shows us specifically the conflicts you've experienced and the types of disease processes and symptoms you're going to manifest in your physical and psychological reality based on your values and your voids. And not only that, because you continue to value these things and you continue to live them, there are strategies in place which actually your hierarchy of values are keeping these things locked in place. And so through understanding the relationship between these two, it can really reveal to us the really areas of development that you need in order to transcend your challenges and evolve in your health, your vitality, but also your feelings of alignment in life, your feelings of empowerment, and coming back to those cardinal feelings of inspiration, and enthusiasm, love, and gratitude or appreciation for yourself. Because these things are stored all in your unconscious mind. And all of your strategies that you live from in life are all stored based on this hierarchy of values and this value system. And every situation you get yourself in, you make a choice on the best strategy you have for dealing with it at that time. But as you begin to transform and change these conflicts and experiences that you have, what you'll notice is, and you develop your consciousness by seeing what you haven't seen before, you actually find that you can develop new strategies for dealing with certain situations as you go forwards. And your unconscious mind, it really isn't that as I said about your body, your physical body, it isn't stubborn. It will hold symptoms until you get the recognition and realization of why they're there in the first place. And so your strategies for dealing with life aren't stubborn either. It's just they're the best strategy that you have for dealing with that experience in life. But then once you put in a new strategy based on a new level of consciousness of life, then your mind would then choose that moving forwards. So when we get back from after this, the last short break of the show, I'm going to come back and really show you about the conflicts and the symptoms you can experience and how much they relate to this voids and values dynamic. So I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
9 different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
You read about it in health news every day.
Cancer rates are going up. Obesity in the U.S. is on the rise. Heart disease and diabetes are top killers every year.
We can follow the advice of our doctor, but cravings persist. Weight goes up and energy is still down. It doesn't have to be like this. Tune in for Body Balance Talk with Lucy Hewitt and her guest experts. You'll learn how you can work with your body to feel better and look better, too. Body Balance Talk airs live every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Holy hormones, honey! Every week, this groundbreaking radio show brings you insight about hormone fluctuations, addressing the core biological issues that cause mood disorders, and offers a general support center for women everywhere at any stage in their lives. Host Leslie Carroll Botha has the passion and drive to help you make informed decisions about your well-being and reclaim your life. Holy Hormones, Honey, sponsored by True Hope Incorporated, the leaders in brain health, is broadcast live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Healing From Within with John Robson. To participate in our discussion today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to john@meta-medicineusa.com. Now, back to Healing From Within.
Hello, hello, and welcome back for section three of the show. Thank you for rejoining the show. And this final section here, third section, really just brings it all together. This is where I'm most excited about right now in terms of the void's values work and how I understand conflicts and the expression of disease. Let me tell you about how that all ties together. So what I found was, as I was taking for people through these processes of finding through those questions about what their life demonstrated, currently demonstrates, what their hierarchy of values are, then asking them the questions of what do they perceive to be most missing in their life, and how do those things correlate, and then asking them, also having an understanding of the physical symptoms that they're experiencing in life right now too, I was able to sort of ask them questions of, so on these voids that you've perceived and the values was holding them in place, what are some of those key conflicts that you've experienced along that line? And another piece that really sort of helped me with this is because in understanding the meta health wisdom, in understanding meta health and meta medicine, what I know is meta medicine is basically it's the science behind how you can be meta healthy in the meta health movement. And what it's found is that there's not only a mind body connection, but there's a very specific connection between your mind, your thoughts, your perceptions, your social experience, and specifically your own personal perception of your social experience, and the impact on your brain, your psyche, and your physiology as well. So in the expression of disease and illness. And so we've got like a whole directories and brain maps and all these sort of things. So we know that specific conflicts in life manifest themselves as specific conflicts within the physical body. And throughout these shows that I've done on this Healing From Within show, hopefully you've been able to get many insights about some of the different core ones and how that system all works. But basically now that stuff is like all in my brain. I know that stuff like the alphabet. And so as somebody is speaking with me and as somebody is talking to me, I'm picking out They have fear, they have anger, they have sadness, they have hurt, they have guilt, they have shame. They have some belief systems of I'm unworthy, I can't trust people, people are untrustworthy. They have a lot of territory conflicts. That I'm hearing all of this information, and I'm knowing my brain is like filtering it and being like, okay, so that can manifest as excessive weight gain, or that can manifest as thyroid problems or adrenal problems or musculoskeletal problems, all sorts of different things. It's just all processing in my brain. And so when a client comes into me and they do that, I had a client that I was working with. It was the one that the mother was away working all of the time, and they really didn't have that good relationship with the mother. And so what they had the high value on was being the ideal mother and wanting to be that in life. But what the symptomology that they were expressing in life was weight problems. They had moderate to weight problems that they were dealing with, and also skin problems as well, like eczema, dermatitis, and these sort of things. And so what we know from the mental health is one of the key conflicts of the weight problems is this abandonment isolation conflict. And so that one made a lot of sense to me. And the skin, the epidermis layer of the skin, which is the outer layer of the skin, also leads to the dermatitis and the eczema. The conflict associated with that is actually about separation and contact conflicts. So I knew that there was a feeling of separation and a feeling of abandonment, isolation that was being held currently in the life. So the current values of wanting to be the perfect mother was tied to a wound of my mother wasn't there and I missed her. I really felt a lot of sadness and sorrow about that. And it led to the experience of I feel abandoned, I feel isolated, and I have conflicts with separation. Now, when you look into it, there's also beliefs as well. Like there were some beliefs that come in around like I can't trust people, nobody cares about me, I have to I'm unlovable, these sort of things. Because when the primary care people were gone, and so in helping somebody to resolve those problems, then we have to then deal with those core conflicts. But I was really excited to see that all of that could piece together nicely, and really her life and her behaviors and her actions in today's life were revealing to us as clear as day what her conflicts were and how that was holding in place the physical symptoms that she was currently experiencing. And in order to create a complete transformation of those things, those were the things we had to work on. Those core relationships and those core conflicts that she experienced were the things that were essential to work on. And what we would notice is that as we move forward in that process is that the stress dies down, the mind becomes integrated, and the body and values start to alter and change and evolve as that wound is gone. Another client that had this, she also had a high value on being a great mother, but it was slightly different. It was a very different experience in terms of the physical symptoms that she was expressing. This one was expressing like depression. There were some weight problems, but it was mainly about depression and also epilepsy. They were expressing epilepsy. And when we looked at it, we looked at the own mother. The voids that they felt was obviously a feeling of being having a mother that was warm and kind and nice and these sort of things. What we found was that actually her mother, her perception of her mother was that she was very cold, very hard, very much not warm at all. Her own mother, we found out, had a pretty traumatic experience during war times, and so she'd learned some behaviors during those war times of being stoic and being hard, and you have to sort of, you know, keep calm and carry on sort of thing. Even though there's bombs flying around you, you have to be very hard in the face of adversity to survive in life. And that's okay at one level. We can understand where that behavior comes from, but what it led to the feeling of was this cold, hard mother. And we could also consider there was a lot of war and tension within the family dynamic. So the two parents were at war with one another's ideologically. You know, they had very different ideas about how they should be parents within life. So they would be at war about these sort of things. And then in a lot of ways, the one I was working with, her brothers and sisters were almost used as pawns within that war. So they were the sort of soldiers on the ground, if you like, in their own family war between the two ideologies about how you can raise a family. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience where the mother and the father, they have very different ideas about how to be a parent, and there's some conflict with that, and you can sometimes feel like a pawn within that whole dynamic. Hopefully, as relationships evolve between people, we can get more appreciation and actually more congruency within the family dynamic and whole family units. And there are many people that have had that experience too. But so for this person, what we find is with depression and epilepsy, there is a lot of depression, there's a lot of territory and social conflicts. So there's a lot of conflicts going on in your social environment or territorial environments that get triggered many times. Like, but there's kind of significant triggers in those things. And with epilepsy, what we find is there's this paralyzing trauma. So literally something that you experience in life that literally makes you feel paralyzed. And it's something like, you know, you cannot flee or fight. There's a lot of fright and fear all tied into this. And this person had epilepsy from a young age. So there was that lot of war going on in the family. But what that led to was a high value on peace. And so this person, because there was a lot of war, there was a lot of incongruency, there was a lot of tension within her family growing up. When she had her own family, she wanted there to be a more peace, more harmony within the family dynamic, more ease and these sort of things. And so what we noticed is that she would bite her tongue a lot. She would, like, whenever she was feeling that there was something going on, she would bite her tongue. She would, like, not speak. I won't speak. I won't share what I'm going so that I can just try and keep the peace within the family dynamic. But what we know about disease and the expression of symptoms is that it's always an incongruence between what you're feeling inside and what you feel capable of expressing outside. And all of that stored energy has to get expressed. And epilepsy is one of those real key ones that really expresses that and shows it up. Because once your tension builds up inside to a certain point, the epileptic seizure is almost like like a release. It's a release of all that energy buildup. You know, like one of those little pipes that lets out steam. All of a sudden, the pressure, one of the geysers, if you like, once the pressure builds up to a certain level, it'll have to let off pressure out of the earth in order to release some of that tension. And so we found that within this person, that was exactly what was going on. So the high value on trying to keep the peace and holding in all that tension led to the expression of the epileptic seizures that were taking place. And again, it's almost like we find these little metaphors everywhere. In all of the ways that she was biting her tongue, for any of you that have been around somebody who has epileptic seizures, one of the common things to happen is that they bite their tongue. So we find these little interesting metaphors hidden in many different disease processes in life. And that was just one of those. So in helping this person to transcend and heal that stuff, you have to deal with a lot of those conflicts of the family dynamic, deal with a lot of the stuff with regards to the relationships of the mother, and see how is it perfect that she had the mother that she had and had the father that she had too, and neither of them was right or wrong. All was love, all else was kind of illusion, and just to get to have appreciation for the life she had. And then carries into our own life and balances things out. Another example is me in my own life. In my own life, my main symptoms, as I've just talked about before, are asthma and eczema and a few other musculoskeletal problems as well. So in my own life, one of the key voids that was going on was a feeling of safety and protection. It felt like there was a lot of challenge going on. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of change and there was a lot of instability. And in that, it really didn't feel much safety or protection. So in my values and one of my key protectors as well, I felt that was able to hold some balance within the family dynamic, left the family dynamic. So in that experience of that, my eczema really came up, which is the separation conflict. And it was because it was associated when I was about 6, 7, 8 years old with fear. So I had so much fear wrapped into, if that person goes, it's so significant because now who's going to protect the family environment? So they go, I manifest eczema, and also I manifest asthma because I'd made a judgment that I was the one who had to take up the traits of keeping the protection. And I was too small at that time. But it led to a lot of me becoming the great fighter that I decided to become and training as a martial artist. So hopefully that's given you a little bit of an understanding of the voids that you experience, the values you have, and the symptomology that you'll express. So I want you to have a look at that. And what symptoms do you have in your body or behavior? And what feelings do you most predominantly feel? And how is that related to your voids and values? If you'd like to arrange one of these sessions where we go for a 2-hour session to find all this information out for you, then you can do that. I'm extending an offer, a 50% discount on this 2-hour session for the first 5 people that contact me. So if you feel that you're interested in doing that, email me today at john@meta-medicineusa.com. I look forward to connecting with you again soon. I really hope you found today's show interesting, and send me more questions. I love seeing them coming in. You take care, and I'll catch you again next week.
Thank you for joining us this week. Please tune in to Healing From Within, featuring your host, John Robson, next Wednesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week as we continue to transform your health from within.